broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 1st in the year of our Lord 2023. This is our one of two in the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio and the traditions of our founders. Yes, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America with its checks and balances and everything else to stop out-of-control belligerent government. Because we don't follow the blueprint, it's not working very well. Remember, our nation is meant for a moral and a religious people, and it's inadequate for the governing of any other. And as we turn our back on morality and religion and literally let the criminals run the asylum, we are in trouble. Welcome to the show. Hope you're all doing fantastic. James Edwards with me. Welcome to the show, sir. All right. Meanwhile, we'll try to get James back. No, he's not. James is not there. He's not responding at all. He's just completely gone.
I'm here, and I responded the first time.
I don't know what's wrong. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hey, it's good to be back, Sam. Happy 1st of November, a new season. Still getting over all that candy I was eating out of the kids' bags last night, but I'm no worse for the wear.
Yeah, well, you're a big spender, my friend, because we reported the national price for candy and gum rose 12.8% in the last year alone. Groceries, on the average, they say only about 6.7%, but candy and gum, 12.8%, James. That is huge inflation on your Halloween expenditure, sir.
Hey, my friend, I didn't spend a thing. I've got kids. We get it for free. Three kids, that's three trick-or-treat bags. And I, when we got home last night, my wife was sorting it out. We put it all on the den floor. She wants to separate the chocolates from the other stuff so they don't, you know, cross-pollinate or whatever. That's a thing, believe it or not. And it looked like we had robbed a candy store.
Yeah, because pretty soon everything will taste like peppermint if you don't, just so
that's
you know.
Right. That's exactly right. We found that out the hard way when we first had kids. It had been a while since I'd gone trick-or-treating myself. I don't remember that back in the day. But nevertheless, now it was out of control. It was out of control, the amount of candy. We even talked about that. We actually, my wife and I had this conversation because people were just giving away handfuls of candy in the neighborhood. And one guy was giving away king-size Hershey bars. I mean, the full – and I was, you know, he had to spend
– wow.
A lot of kids in the neighborhood, so it had to be, he had to spend hundreds of dollars just on the candy. It was out of control, but we were the recipients on this one, not the the purchasers, so it worked out good for me.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man, I've got eight children, as you know, and I have sadly been trick-or-treating literally for like 30 years. The kids and you know, you run around and you help kids, and I don't really get any candy. I don't carry a bag or a pillowcase or anything to get my own candy, but we've taken kids trick-or-treating for literally like 30 years. This is the first year I don't have any kids young enough to take trick-or-treating, and the grandkids are far away, so I didn't get a chance to go with any grandkids. And me and my wife literally just got an oil change for the vehicle. We went out to dinner. We came home and just spent an evening together and watched a movie and just hung out, and we didn't have any candy or anything.
Oh, that makes me sad. I bet with your brood, Sam, you had candy year-round. Halloween would stock the Bushman household up from October 31st until October 30th of the next year.
You know, they even have dentists that take your candy to get it out of the hands of the kids to try to save the teeth. And have you seen that? They got signs where it's like, we'll take your candy.
No, I haven't seen that, thankfully, because that would be very depressing for me. I always enjoyed Halloween as a kid. I trick-or-treated until I was a teenager. A couple of down years when we first got married, and, you know, young adults and the first couple of years of marriage until we had kids. But I've certainly spent more October 31st trick-or-treating than not between kid and adulthood, right.
So this is the first year, and I'm sure it's a little bit of a lull, because I'm sure we'll be going trick-or-treating with grandkids before you know it more and everything else. And so, a lot of times that Halloween's a big debate, James, in people's homes.
I know.
And it is, because a lot of people don't like the, scary stuff and the negative stuff and the, the satanic stuff. And You know, I feel differently. My wife found a book about Halloween that I actually really liked, and it talked about the harvest. It talked about, look, you don't have to do scary things. You can do positive, fun, good things that, you know, where people spend time together and play games and enjoy each other's company. And I agree with that. You know, we can't just say we're going to just shut down the holiday or whatever. You can basically make sure that you focus on good things and reject the bad. So we were going after dinner to get our car washed, man, because when we got our oil changed, they gave us a free car wash. So we thought, hey, let's just go to the car wash on our way home and get our car washed. We pull up to the car wash. There's a bunch of cars, and we pull up to the car wash. We're like, oh, geez, why is everybody, you know, at the car wash for Halloween? I mean, what is happening? So all of a sudden, we pull up. We roll down our window, and this dude in a mask comes up from behind the, you know, my wife's side window and scares the heck out of her. And my wife's like, you know what? That ain't funny. That's bogus. And the guy, like, looks at her weird and puts up his finger and runs away like, hold on, I'm going to go get somebody. This girl comes back and she's like, hey, we're not doing car washes. We're doing some Halloween spook tunnel thing. It's only $25 a car and you can do this. We're just like, are you kidding me right now? So we got out of line. It's like, man, bogus. I don't even want any part of it. But there you have it. So we had an enjoyable time watching videos and pictures of all my grandkids going trick-or-treating, and that was quite fun. And it can be a fun day if done right, is the point, James.
I think it's important to talk about this. People are probably wondering, you know, why we're quote-unquote wasting, you know, a segment of your
Oh, you watch me. We'll get to the hard-hitting stuff by and by.
No, but I think it is important. I do this. I do this on the holidays, on Easter, on Christmas. We have a pastor come in and deliver an Easter or Christmas message. But even on the other, you know, not as Christian holidays, Valentine's Day, Halloween. I enjoy getting into the spirit of whatever season we're in, 4th of July, and talking about it. I think it is important that the audience understands who we are and, you know, a little peek behind the scenes of the Edwards and Bushman households off the air, because, of course, the controlled media out there tries to dehumanize us to such an extent. I think people need to know, hey, these guys really are just like us. But Halloween is, look, I've always had fun with it, too. I agree with you. It is a patchwork holiday. It does blend traditions of our ancient European ancestors, you know, the time of the harvest, how important that was in Northern Europe before the winter set in. And I mean, if you didn't, you know, it was a celebration. It was a time of togetherness.
Hey, if you didn't take the harvest seriously, it could mean death in winter. So this
Absolutely.
Is a serious business, folks.
A big deal. And over the years, it has blended in Christian traditions and occult traditions, so you get a little bit of all of that. But no, I mean, in the month of October is really exciting for me. I love taking my wife and kids to a corn maze. I love taking them on a hayride. I love trick-or-treating. I love all of the stuff that you do, scarecrows. And there is just something that I think stirs that ancestral memory, and it's just a fun time. It's just a time you can do things that you can't do elsewhere. And, of course,
season. And I think you can spend the time in great pursuits. It doesn't have to be all gore and scare and evil and everything else. We don't like the scary movies and the haunted house stuff very much. But we do love the playing games and spending time together as family and the kids dressing up as little cute things
Bobbing
and everything
for
else.
Apples, sure.
Now, you got to dang sure make sure you avoid whiteface or blackface or whatever the heck that's called. But other than that, you know, you can don't dress up as your favorite basketball player because you're likely to get in trouble if you're white.
You well, I'll tell you,
about?
There's going to be an article Everybody's in about 24 hours. There's going to be an article somewhere on the internet in about 24 hours talking about how the white supremacist anti-government nexus of Bushman and Edwards like Halloween and how Halloween needs to be canceled worldwide at this point. So stay tuned for that.
All right. It's just amazing. We can't even do anything these days without them literally wanting you to believe that somehow we're dangerous and evil and this kind of stuff. And it couldn't be further for the truth. By the way, yesterday we had on Shane Krauser. He's running for Gilbert, Arizona as the mayor. And you say, well, why would you focus on a local small-town mayor? Because he's getting national attention, number one. VoteShaneKrauser.com is his website. And we talked about the current town leadership has lost the true spirit of Gilbert. And Shane Krauser will fight for you to get it back. Gilbert's best days are ahead with Shane Krauser as mayor. This guy stands for small accountable government, personal freedom, individual and business prosperity. He's pro-business. He's pro-private property, pro-transparency. In my mind, the guy's a hero. Well, anyway, he's also a constitutional attorney. And he's standing up like nobody's business for that, which is right. And Shane's ready to go on the campaign trail, man, with us and speak out and call these professors and all these clowns to account for misrepresenting Sam Bushman and Richard Mack and others who say that the county sheriff has tremendous authority in his county. And all these professors and so-called constitutional scholars are going like, you guys are off out in the weeds. You guys are infiltrating law enforcement. You're dangerous. You're crazy. You're evil. Well, anyway, I started to dig, James, and I found an interesting, to say the least, I found an interesting reference to labels, which we'll get into as the broadcast continues. I want to talk about these labels. But first, I want to talk about the latest that we hear on the Biden family. Because what's interesting is while they draw up these labels and just hate on us like nobody's business and lie to you and mock us and all that kind of stuff, there are labels attacking us, but there's real information on the Biden family. Headline right now says the FBI, do you want to go ahead and skip the break? Lizzie, there you go. Thank you. Okay, the FBI maintained more than 40 confidential human sources on various criminal matters related to the Biden family, including Joe Biden, dating back to his time as vice president. That's according to information now obtained by Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa. It's so bad, they say, that the confidential human sources provided, quote, criminal information to the FBI relating to Joe Biden, his brother James Biden, and son Hunter Biden. And those confidential human sources were managed by multiple FBI field offices across the nation, including the FBI Seattle field office, they say. Then it goes on and talks further about how the Washington District of Criminals Office would get all the information, bottle it up, manipulate it, and say, oh, there's foreign influence. It doesn't relate. So while they told you that they can monitor us, they can monitor phone calls and everything else. This is George Bush who started this, by the way. So don't believe this is just a Democratic thing, folks. George Bush started this idea, oh, we're only going to monitor your overseas dealings. And then it was like, well, I monitor all Americans, but I really don't mean any harm. And then they codified that into the Patriot Act, as you know, right? Big old mislabel of reality. It's the Violate Liberty Act is what it really is under the guise of the Patriot Act. Well, while they were at the same time spying on you and I under the Patriot Act, they were using the Patriot Act to say, oh, don't worry, there's interference. Joe's not really guilty of any of these things. Well, now we find out there's 40-plus informants that had the goods on Joe over and over and over, and the FBI / Justice Department flat out rejected it, according to Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa. James, now they say, we're going to look into this. When was Joe Biden vice president, James? Wasn't it like 2008?
2008 to 2016.
Oh. Yeah,
8 to 16, I believe.
So really 2007 is when it kind of, you know, wow.
Right, when he...
What's happening? So 2008, and now it's, let's say, 2018, 2020. It's 15 years later, and we find out that there's been 40 FBI informants reporting on his criminal activity for over 15 years, and now they're going to look into it, James. Are you impressed?
Well, don't hold your breath, anyone out there, for them to actually get to the bottom of this thing. Of course, what we're seeing here is a might makes right type of scenario. The America has really and truly descended into a law of the jungle type of system here, and it's interesting, Sam. You talk about how the government and some of these other groups out there use projection, how they cast upon their targets that in which they are engaging. And again, who's anti-government? Who's anti-law and order? I don't think it's the people that they are saying are those things. And I'm looking at this list of so-called anti-government groups. I see the Constitution Party on it. I see a website that makes Second Amendment patches. I mean, it's just really, really weird. But you, because if anybody's ever been to a Constitution Party, convention, and I know the Constitution Party people, I've been to some of their meetings. I know how they operate. I mean, their solution to everything is like vote hard and pray. And I don't say that mockingly. I'm just saying that these people are Christian people, and they wouldn't hurt anyone. They certainly don't want to overthrow anyone. They want a proper government, maybe, but one that abides by law and order, no matter who it applies to. But what you have now is, of course, through our system, selective enforcement. And really, and we've talked about this before, anarcho-tyranny. And anarcho-tyranny is, of course, where you have a criminally corrupt system, an out-of-control rogue law enforcement. I'm not talking about the local beat cops, but, you know, on a federal level and a federal government who, of course, will let their own players pass for any law. I mean, look at what's happening. Sam, I don't want to chase a rabbit here, but, and this is off topic a little bit, but tangentially it's related. You look at America's role in the world in terms of how it litigates wars. And I am telling you, there, the way most of the world sees America is far different than how most Americans see America. And to a lot of the world, America is a terrorist state. I'm not saying that I necessarily am calling it that. I am saying it's certainly debatable. But the point is, and to come back to your point, is that all of that's well and good, but don't you dare follow a group into the Capitol and mill around for a few minutes. Don't you dare light a tiki torch. That will get you sent to prison for years. But corruption and law-breaking on the highest level and on the most important matters, well, you'll be the president.
And what if, James, what if you just report on this stuff? What if you don't do anything else, really, but you report on this stuff? You tell the truth about Joe. You tell the truth about America. You do your very best to level with the people on what's really happening. Joe Biden, the crime family, for starters. Barack Obama and his criminal activity, and so on. And it just, what do you do? Where do you go? What do you, okay, you're in just as much, if not bigger, trouble. And more importantly, what if you do more than report on it? What if you do your best to get the facts together? You report on it. Over and over and over, you are proven right, James. And then, in addition to that, what if you work with a group that is literally, legitimately elected government, and you try to work through the most local level of your government and the most relevant executive branch of that local government, and you try to say, let's create accountability. If you are attacked by the government, a.k.a. Bill Clinton in this case, and you're Richard Mack, you use the proper role of limited government in your First Amendment, a redress of grievance, to go all the way to the Supreme Court and win. You are Richard Mack, and you served government for 20 years as a local executive law enforcement official, sheriff for two terms. If you're Sam Bushman, you're a nationally syndicated talk show host, you report on this stuff, and then you decide that, you know what, that's the most legitimate, proper role of limited government. It's America's last hope to work with the sheriff. It's America's last hope to work within the proper role of limited government. If we're going to make a difference, we got to do it by obeying the law, obeying, honoring, and sustaining the law, I would say. And so you say, you know what? That's the avenue that I think we should work through. It's the most peaceful, relevant, appropriate solution we can find. There's a lot of people out there with a lot of ideas, but, man, a lot of them are pretty risky. They're pretty dangerous, whatever words you want to use. And you do that. And then in the end of the day, Joe Biden is protected literally from 2008 until now. Bill Clinton was protected before Joe. George Bush. So Republicans and Democrats created the Patriot Act to then spy on us and say, you know what, Sam, you're a lone wolf. or you're this, or you're that, and now create labels to literally destroy Sam Bushman or Richard Mack or James Edwards, who James wants to say, hey, you know what? There's a southern side of the Civil War, and they had some legitimacy. States' rights, chief among them. The federal government has rolled over the states like a freight train, and we've got to stand for the southern view. It wasn't just slavery. We reject slavery. But see, you bring up the South, and you take any side the South ever had, and the Reconstructionists slash victors, they're the ones that write the narrative and tell the story. So anytime you bring up the South, see, now you're a sympathizer. You're a neo-Confederate. You're a whatever you are. You're a hater. You're anti-government. In fact, let's create a group. And that group will be kind of an outside governmental organization, a non-governmental organization, if you will. But it will partner with government in legitimate ways to make sure the attack on anybody who rejects their views is holistic, narcissistic, and absolutely will destroy whoever comes in contact with it. So they did. The Southern Poverty Law Center has been created for that purpose alone. And it has been tremendously successful. It's getting a bad name because the truth is coming out. But it's so slow in coming. Even with its bad name, it continues to wreck lives. It continues to put people in harm's way. It continues to threaten families. And I go on. But what they've done is managed to create these labels. And these labels they're putting on people, a constitutional sheriff, you see, them are bad guys. Those are the bad people. You say, oh, neo-Confederate. Oh, wow, hater. Anti-government. Nazi, for heck's sake. And they keep going. And they have all these terms. And now imagine this group creates its own definitions for these terms. Never mind that it doesn't match legal reality. They create their own definitions, and then they live and breathe by these definitions. They then back themselves with their over $750 billion, you heard me with a B, dollars war chest with funds stashed overseas. And they then get in bed with the FBI and the Justice Department and government in general. And they attack and they malign and they manipulate and they label and they literally go after you in this classic projection ideology, which says they're the haters. That's the truth. But what they want to do is project onto everyone that they label, hey, they're the haters. And they're just keeping an eye on hate so you don't have to, for heck's sakes. They're going to create hate watch and they're going to create. Now they've got literally a greater war chest than they've ever had before, and more groups are labeled as hate groups than ever before. They're up to 1,225 hate groups. And Sam and James make up like 50 of them.
Well, and of course, a group doesn't have, you know, I wrote a book about this 13 years ago about everything that's going on here with this scam and with this game and how they use these weaponized buzzwords like racist to try to throw people off track or discredit them or take them out of the game. And I wrote in the book, well, racist, the way it's used now, doesn't the definition isn't the same as it as what you think it is. And even the definition of group doesn't even necessarily mean what you think it means anymore. Sam, as an individual, is a group. I, as an individual,
yes,
am a
I
group.
Yes, I am. I'm a huge. In fact, I was called one of the biggest hate groups in the state of Utah, literally as early as, I think, 2010 or something like that. I was the biggest hate group of the state of Utah. It was just me, myself, and I. And then I got on stage and told a couple of hundred sheriffs how big and scary I am. And it wasn't a Halloween joke, but they laughed like it was. And I don't blame them. All right, hang tight. We're going to talk about these labels one at a time as your broadcast unfolds and as they continue to protect Joe Biden and family at all levels of government by both parties.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. Protesters interrupted Congress yesterday while lawmakers were discussing giving large amounts of your money to fund the wars in Europe and the Middle East. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken was interrupted several times during the opening statement by yelling demonstrators. Blinken testified before the Senate Appropriations Committee in support of the Biden administration wanting to spend $105 billion for the support. The number of deaths and people missing in Mexico after Hurricane Otis is roughly 100. The storm hit Acapulco last week as a Category 5 storm. The governor of Guerrero State said yesterday that at least 45 people were killed and 47 remain missing. The National Hurricane Center said Hurricane Otis intensified rapidly, with winds increasing by 115 miles an hour in a single day before it hit Mexico. New details are out about the mass shooter in Maine that killed 18 people before taking his own life. Robert Card was an Army reservist, and he was sent for evaluation in July after he was seen behaving erratically. That's when the Army said Card should not have a weapon, handle ammunition, or participate in live fire activity. The shootings last week in Lewiston, Maine, marks the deadliest mass shooting in the United States this year. Kim Kardashian has made a deal with the National Basketball Association. Her Skims underwear is now the official shapewear of the league, as well as the WNBA and USA Basketball. The Texas Rangers are one win away from claiming their first World Series title in franchise history. Texas beat the Arizona Diamondbacks for an 11-7 victory in Game 4. The teams will meet for Game 5 tonight in Phoenix, Arizona. Thanks for listening, my friend. It's well appreciated. We are USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure-ground burgers are made from single cuts of real, aged Omaha Steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order, plus free shipping. You'll get four of each Pure Ground Burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center, this criminal organization. We're talking about the government, the FBI, the Justice Department, literally all in bed together, folks. In fact, it's so bad now that 20 different state attorney generals sent a letter to the United States Attorney General and said, hey, man, this Southern Poverty Law Center people, they're not credible. They're crazy. They're off their rock nuts. That's right. Employees have quit the organization and said, look, they're racist. They're sexist over there at the SPLC. It was so bad they had to let their founders go. But yet they continue to abuse us. So they've abused me so bad now and sent a letter to Congress saying Sam Bushman and James Edwards are the nexus of hate in America. They're the nexus of anti-government. They're infiltrating law enforcement. They're very dangerous as they, and then they use all these different labels. And at first you kind of think, how do they come up with these words? Well, now we know because I've got a page that's very hard to find on the internet. I kid you not, one character, a period, will make the difference on if you can see this link or not. It is very bizarre. It's almost like they want to hide the page. But yet, if you know how to find it, there it is. And what it is they have definitions for all kinds of words that they use. And so when they call you a something, whatever it be, you're like, that's a weird word. I never call myself that. Well, that's right, because they're making up the words and they're creating the definitions, and some attorney experts are now telling me their definitions do not match legal definitions either, James.
Sam, this is important. I see where you're going with this now. And yes, we did finally find this SPLC glossary. It's basically their own little dictionary, and they, in some instances, create the term and then define it in their own way. Sometimes it's a term you might have heard before, also defined in the SPLC's own way, and not necessarily as a legitimate dictionary would define it, and certainly not as a legal.
And it's not how you and I would define it either. So we're going to go through these definitions because there's 24 of them, and I think they're so relevant in the way they're attacking me and you and everybody else. For example, let's take the alt-right. Now, what does that mean to you, James?
Okay, so this was something that I think came around in popular parlance around 2015, 2016, and you heard the term alt-right a lot for a couple of years. And in fact, that was something that I was associated with, according to the media, and certainly I knew some of the people who were also being identified as such. And to me, what it meant at the time was you have an alternative to establishment conservatism. The alt-right, as I understood it and as I defined it, not as our enemies defined it or not as our opponents defined it, but what I understood the alt-right to be to me was, I hate to even use the term right-wing because that's associated with far-right and then it's just a slippery slope into neo-Nazism.
Oh, yeah.
And they can just take it anywhere you want to go. But it was basically people who, I would say, sort of like a Pat Buchanan type of ideology, paleo-conservatives.
That's right. People think of a Ross Perot. Think of a Ron Paul. Think of anybody who might be right of center by, you know, general
That's
definition,
it.
But those who don't go along with the mainstream right.
That's right.
Example,
so it was,
if I'm anti-war, for instance, am I part of the alt-right because the right believes in hawkish war? I'm not really left. What would I be? So alt-right was this cloak-all term that kind of did that. And it varied in terms of who was using it and what they meant by it and everything else.
That's right.
But here's the deal. The Southern Poverty Law Center has defined it for you. And when they use this term and they throw it on someone like Sam Bushman or James Edwards, here's what they say. James, go ahead.
This is what they say. The alternative right, commonly known as the alt-right, is a set of far-right ideologies, groups, and individuals whose core belief is that white identity is under attack by multicultural forces using political correctness and social justice to undermine white people and their civilization.
Okay, well,
I would
hold
agree.
On. Hold on.
What's up with that?
They've taken this completely racist, though. All it means is, if you're alt-right, is that it's a white racial narrative, and there's nothing else to it whatsoever.
Sam, I've got an interesting...
Was that your understanding?
I got an interesting thing to tell you about this. The alt-right...
Because Ezola
first...
Foster, the VP pick for Pat Buchanan, I guess she would be alt-right, right?
Well, when she was alive, I think she certainly would have been. And she was a friend of mine. But I think, yes, you're talking about people who are right of center, but who want to present an alternative to mainstream conservatism, which for the most part is watered-down liberalism or neoconservatism. And a big difference the alt-right had with establishment conservatism or neoconservatism was our opposition to unnecessary wars, like we're getting into now in the Middle East. But interestingly, and I don't think a lot of people remember this, it was heavily attributed to Richard Spencer, but the man who... first ever used the term or the phrase alt-right was a guy who wrote an endorsement for my book. As a matter of fact, if anybody has ever purchased a copy of Racism Schmacism, there is an endorsement that is included in the book, not just on the internet. It is actually included in the printed copy of the book, every copy that's been sent out since 2010, written by Paul Gottfried, who is a former professor. He's a Jewish guy and a friend of mine and a former professor at Elizabethtown College. And he was the first
Wait
one
a minute,
to
you
use
can't
the word
hang
alt-right.
Out with the Jews and have them write the alt-right book preface. What's happening around here?
Well, he was the one who started it. But as you see, it's interesting how... He was the one to first use the word, I should say. It's interesting how the media can create an alternate reality. That's a word. How about alt-right? How about alternate reality as to exactly what this is and blow up certain individuals who might not have been that big of a force in it and make them appear larger than they are and their influence to be larger than it was. And that certainly happened with this, and of course now, I mean,
yeah. So to me, the alternative right was a term, James, but they say it was commonly known as the alt-right. Now, listen, it's a set of far-right ideologies. Now, who defines the set of far-right ideologies, you see?
Who defines what's far-right?
Of course, the Southern Poverty Law Center does, and that's what I'm driving at. Then they say this, ideologies, groups, and individuals. I didn't really realize a term was all that. Ideologies, groups, and individuals. And then listen, whose core belief is that white identity is under attack. Now, who in their right mind, James, would not agree that white identity is under attack? When you literally have these government schools running around, people are literally wearing, say, a collar or a slave chain to make up for their supposed ancestors' abuse of blacks and all this kind of stuff, or reparations, or how do you not believe or think that white identity is under attack? Now, we can debate white identity, and that could be another whole term that we got to go down, but my point is, everybody knows the white male's under attack. Everybody would agree with that.
Everybody who's being honest. I mean, look, there's just no doubt about this. If you don't
believe...
So
is everybody all right, James?
You look and you ask yourself and you be honest, if you are a member of any other race or ethnicity under God's creation, any other part of God's humanity, and you say you're proud of who you are and you want to champion your culture and your identity, and you see if you get any pushback on that, and then try to doing it as a white person. I think if you're being honest, you can agree that there is a staggering double standard and hypocrisy there. Not just that it's not allowed for whites, but that it is celebrated when other groups do it and encouraged. But look, bottom line is on alt-right.
And the reason that other people can do it and the whites can't is because of all the abuse, the white identity, it's under attack by, quote, multicultural forces, which is very interesting, using, quote, political correctness and social justice to undermine white people and their civilization. Now, I don't know how you'd avoid that discussion. I think everybody is alt-right. Everybody really believes that to be the case. Now, to what level and what tactics are being used and how you identify related to that, it's hard for me to define what white identity is, for example. If I'm just an American and I'm white, is that white identity? Is special white privilege commit? Where does this stop, James?
We're spending more time. There's 24 definitions I know you want to go through. If we spend this much time on all of them, we'd be here till Christmas. But
let me tell you why I'm spending so much time on this one, because all the others hinge on this one.
Well, and this one, too, I think would be the one through the list that I think I was probably, well, I see neo-Confederate, but it would be the one that I probably would align with the most in its proper term. Bottom line on the alt-right is, and we've already said it, it is a group of right of center, let's not call it far right, because that's a slippery slope and it can go anywhere a dishonest reporter wants.
But I don't even know what right of center means, though. What does that mean?
Well,
how do you determine what's left and what's right? Is anti-war left or right? Whole, see, I'm anti-war.
Well, see, that's interesting. That is a great question. That is a great question, because the alt-right was anti-war, which is traditionally assigned as a leftist.
That's a leftist
ideology.
Deal. Right?
That's right. Yeah, it's interesting.
Now, what about no central control? Is that a right or a left ideology?
Oh, that, I would say that's a right. The left loves control. Well, I don't know. I mean, they say fascism is an authoritarian and sort of like.
And that's a right thing. Well, what's fascism, James?
So they say.
Hold on, what is fascism?
The well,
is it government control, but what? Private ownership or what? Okay, I'm against that. I'm against government control, but I'm against fascism. Is that a left or a right idea?
Well, I mean, were we against monarchies? I mean, were we, you know, for thousands of, you know, hundreds of years anyway, let's just say that, for centuries, you know, Europe and our people operated under a king,
yes, we
which,
did.
You know, got there, you know, considered themselves to be ordained by God.
And sometimes God it was a monarchy mixed with a theocracy, if you want to get technical about it. Sometimes it mix and control religion in there, too. By the way, that relates to our next term, James.
Okay, radical traditional Catholicism. Now, I think, you know, when
Stop. Radical and traditional, how does that go along together, James?
Well, they think to be traditional is to be radical. Basically, I think what they're talking about here is anybody that is a legitimate Catholic and not somebody like the Kennedys who kind of go to church and then they advocate for abortion and homosexuality and everything that the Bible condemns. But the definition here is, political ruling elite, radical traditionalist Catholics who may make up the single largest group of serious anti-Semites in America.
So they don't know if that's true, but the reason they say may is because then they can get away with the lie, James. They put
that's
that
right.
in your mind, although they don't even know if it's a fact. But when they say may, they can get away with saying it. And then if they push that hard enough, if you tell a lie often enough, people believe it. So now the Catholics and the alt-right are the two biggest enemies in America. And you certainly fall into either being one of those two groups and or being associated with one of those two groups, no matter what you do.
So, there you go. So, and of course, this goes back to the whole, if you're a Christian, you're an anti-Semite, basically. And although there was a joke I heard one time, the New Testament was the most anti-Semitic book ever written. But the it says that they subscribe to an ideology that is rejected by the Vatican and some 70 million mainstream American Catholics. But they don't even tell what the ideology is or what this group is or if it even really exists. It may make up a group of serious anti-Semites, but it may not. But
we're going to claim that it does, you see. And, of course, they're alt-right, aren't they, all those Catholics?
They've
got to be. They don't go along with the Vatican. And they're, these radical traditionalists, they're all anti-Semites, you see. We'll get to that definition later, too.
But I think there is a lot of overlap with these groups, or at least there could be, depending on the application of the reporter.
Well, and what they're doing is making sure there's overlap, James. That's why there are other definitions appear in the first definitions, right?
This next one really scares me, Sam. I'm glad I never heard of this organization before because I wouldn't be able to sleep at night.
You want
to
know who I heard about it from?
Who?
The SPLC.
I'm learning now, too. We can all learn here. The Phineas Priesthood. Phineas Priesthood. Here's how it's described. The Phineas Priesthood is not an actual this is the SPLC's definition. The Phineas Priesthood is not an actual organization. It has no leaders, meetings, or any other institutional apparatus. That's the full definition. But this is an extremist hate group.
Wait a minute.
What?
It's not an organization, has no leaders, no meetings, or any other, quote, institutional apparatus. Now, my question to you then is, isn't everybody part of it? You don't even know if you're part of it, but you certainly are, James. Because if you take the first two definitions, you are part of the Phineas Priesthood, even though you didn't even know what it was, buddy. You see?
If you
now,
click
I submit
on
to you
it.
The Southern Poverty Law Center came up with the term, so I submit to you that they're the leaders of this Phineas Priesthood that none of us know anything about, James.
If you click on
doesn't
the
it
link
sound like
to
Antifa
it.
Or Antifa? Antifa?
I've seen them at least. But the Phineas Priesthood
it's
is a
just
concept.
Bizarre.
You can dig deeper. It says a Phineas priest is any individual who commits a Phineas action, a reference to an Old Testament story in which an interfaith couple is slain by a Hebrew man named Phineas, who is then rewarded by God. Typically, white supremacists define Phineas actions as slaying of interracial.
So look, if you don't believe in mixed marriages, then you are part of the Phineas Priesthood. So the United States government used to be part of the Phineas Priesthood.
All right, so basically, you belong to this group that doesn't really exist
they
think you believe in something that they define this non-existent group as believing in. I mean, this is the level, folks, it doesn't make sense, but this is the level of, this is where we're at now.
So they take such a vague term like that, then they go to a very hardcore term, neo-Nazi, James.
Neo-Nazi. Now, everybody knows this.
If you're not part of the first three, you're part of this one, buddy.
There are increasingly few conservatives who have not been labeled as a neo-Nazi. I think everybody's a neo-Nazi now, and at least anybody who voted for Trump has probably been called this before. So this is a term you have heard. Neo-Nazi groups share a hatred for Jews and a love of Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany. While they also hate other minorities, gays and lesbians, and even sometimes Christians, they perceive the Jew as their cardinal enemy. Now, I am sure that there are some people like that that would may even consider themselves to be a neo-Nazi. But again, you are saying that everybody – I would ask you this just as a thought exercise. If you – what does hatred of Jews mean? And I'm asking this seriously because I have no hatred in my heart for anyone. And
whoa, wait a minute. James does not hate anyone? By the way, neither does Sam Bushman.
I don't hate anybody. If I did, it might be some of our friends in the Southern Baptist Convention, but people that I expected more from. But I say that tongue in cheek. No, I really don't hate anybody. But what passes as hatred is interesting, because if you criticize someone who happens to be Jewish, if you disagree with someone who happens to be Jewish, they actually go so far as to say that is proof of your hatred. It is hatred to have a disagreement or to have a conversation in which you find yourself on the opposite end of the argument.
So you can be a bad guy if you're part of it, if you're somehow part of an organization that doesn't exist and all this stuff, but you could also be a neo-Nazi based on this same idea. Now you share a hatred for Jews and a love for Adolf Hitler. Now, I don't hate Jews. I have some Jewish people that are dear friends. I religiously am different than they are. We have different religious beliefs. But we can have different beliefs and still be kind and friends. I don't hate them. Now, a love for Hitler and Nazi Germany? I don't have a love for Hitler and Nazi Germany at all. Now, I'm honest about these discussions in that I can acknowledge facts about things but not belong to the group you say. So, for example, do I believe Jewish power and influence owns more media than everybody else? Absolutely, it's a fact. It is not debatable, James. Go look at the records. Go look at the ownerships. Go look at the – this is documented until the cows come home. Now,
well, actually, Sam, I got to say –
no, I
don't. I got to say this about that. Yeah. I have to say this about that because I heard a lot about that when I first got into politics. And I, you know, of course, I want to search for the truth. I thirst for the truth. I hunger for the truth. And I came across an article written by a guy named Joel Stein, who is a Jewish writer and out of California. And he says, of course, Jews own the media. And he actually took issue with facts that with people who say they don't. Now, when we say own the media, are there other people involved? Yes. Do they have a disproportionate amount of influence over the media? Well, I read his findings and I read what he said as a Jewish writer. And I came away and I looked into it myself. And I said, you know what? I think I agree with this guy. I think he's right. Now, that could either be a good or a bad thing, depending on whether or not you agree disagree,
James,
with the media.
It's a fact. We're not talking about agreeing or disagreeing, we're talking about a fact. So my whole point is I can acknowledge that fact. That does not mean I'm a neo-Nazi.
Well, see, and this is it. It could be a very good thing. If you kind of like what you get out of the media, it's a good thing that they have this amount of control, or that the people who have this amount of control are pushing media in that direction. Or it could be a bad thing. But I don't see how you are determined to be a neo-Nazi or you hate somebody because you point out these
because
things.
I acknowledge a fact.
And you can disagree with it. But I'm telling you, what passes for hatred of minorities is to have any sort of disagreement with any of their positions. If you publicly disagree with a Jewish person, you will be called an anti-Semite. If you double down, you'll be called a neo-Nazi. If you publicly disagree with a black person, you're going to be a racist. We have seen
that's right.
These
now, how about this? What if I don't agree with Palestine or Israel and I want to stay the heck out of the conflict because I'm anti-war? Is that a right-wing? what was this thing? What was this priesthood? Phineas priesthood deal? Is that an alt-right Phineas priesthood Catholic deal? What about a Nazi, neo-Nazi deal? I don't want to attack or harm any of them. I want to stay out of it, James.
I want to say there are probably
I don't
some
praise
people.
Hitler, James. Do you?
No, I haven't. And I will say this though, there are probably some people. Now, I don't even like my book says you're not even supposed to my book like it's the Bible. I came to the conclusion long ago. If for anybody listening who is objective and they want to hear where we really stand and it might make a difference, that's fine. You're never going to convince the media. You're never going to curry favor with these people. They have no truth in this.
No,
they're
the
going
reason
to call
you lay out your
things.
Positions publicly is, though, for people who are confused and don't know the truth, Okay? They can listen to me and they can decide. When Sam Bushman says, I believe we're all God's children, and let's act like it. Let's treat each other kindly and behave like it. Let's follow the Prince of Peace. I unequivocally become a Christian and hate no one if you believe in what I say. And if you look at my public and private life, if you see factually that that's the case, then pretty soon the media gets no credibility on this. And
now,
that's really the point.
There are probably some people out there who hate all people who happen to not be like them and maybe even want to visit violence upon them. But I can tell you this, and I know I'm purported to be the nexus of hate and white supremacy and all of that. If I am that, I can tell you with 100% degree of certainty that I have never met one of these people. Now, you would think that the nexus of white supremacy would have met a neo-Nazi who, and again, I think when most people think of neo-Nazi, they're thinking of somebody who wants to just kill Jews, they want to kill other people. That's the way it's popularly understood.
Now,
I've never met
anybody
like that.
Now, do you perceive the Jew as your cardinal enemy, James?
I have a lot of disagreements with a lot of their issues. A lot of the issues, at least. Now, look, who are we talking about? Are we talking about Paul Gottfried as an individual
No.
Guy?
Hold on.
Are we talking
They're about... just saying you got to take the whole of it all. You can't be honest.
Well, I mean, look, they do. I mean, as a group, they are certainly much more liberal than I am. I mean, I don't know if that does that make them a cardinal enemy? It certainly makes them a group that, by and large, I would disagree with. But I'm willing to give any individual a fair hearing, and I would hope that they would give me the same thing as an individual. Now, even though I guess right of center, right wing, conservative, paleo conservative, whatever, I would hope that anybody wanting to truly find out who I am and what I stand for will give me that courtesy, but they do not. They do not. And I am telling you, neo-Nazi doesn't mean what you think it means. It means if you disagree with these people, you will be called this.
And my response to this is I don't think Jews are my cardinal enemy. However, they believe Christ is not the Prince of Peace, is not the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, can we agree to disagree on that fundamental reality difference? Or are you going to make it a cardinal enemy discussion? See, I don't think we have to go to the cardinal enemy agenda. I can be kind to Jews and just absolutely disagree on one of the most fundamental facts of society, which is I believe Jesus Christ to truly be the Son of God, James.
So that you have a very fundamental religious disagreement with them on that, and so do I. But
can they let it go?
If I met one today, if I ran into one today after we get off the air, I'm going to treat him or her with every bit as much courtesy and respect as I would treat anyone. But this is it. I do have, and I have no qualms in saying, I do have a preference for people who I have more things in common with. So as a white man, as a Christian, as a Southerner, I kind of prefer the company of people with whom I have more things in common. Doesn't that make sense, though? Wouldn't you want to have a community?
That's called
of
free association.
That,
that's what the founders stood for.
Want to
now,
have
they
people
say that you also hate other minorities, gays and lesbians, and even sometimes Christians. Now, I don't hate gays and lesbians. I think they're absolutely living a lifestyle of sin. I think they're misguided in their understanding, their beliefs, their passions and all that kind of stuff. I personally think it's evil to believe in their views, but that does not mean that I hate them. Here's the deal. If we disagree, can I hold on to my beliefs but not be full of hate?
That's
in their world, the answer is no.
I will oppose that agenda. I will oppose the homosexual lifestyle. I will oppose drag queen and transgenderism and all of the branches of this tree. But again, if I run into one later today, I'm going to treat them with every bit as much respect and courtesy as I would anyone else. And I have always done that. But yes, I do disagree and I do oppose this lifestyle. But that doesn't mean that, you know, there's some sort of a hatred that's going to lead me or people who think like me to go out and kill these people. It's just that
we mean
is
no violence. We disagree.
Very,
we want to go
false.
Our way, but they won't let us go our way. Now, try to say the next term that we'll start out with next hour, James. What's this next one?
Well, I don't know how you pronounce it with the umlaut, but we're just going to call it neo-folkish. Neo-folkish, but they write it with a V and an umlaut.
Neo-folkish with a V, though, right?
With a V and an umlaut.
Neo-folkish, I think it is. Anyway, yeah. It's hard when I can't even understand the terms they claim that we're somehow backed into being part of, but that's how it is with these people. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. We're going to break this down. I know this sounds like a strange program, but folks, you got to understand what makes these people tick, because they're flat out, straight up evil. Now, can we get along with that? Liberty Roundtable Live. God save the Republic.